Amen. Beautiful song with a great message. Amen. Hello? I just want to make sure you were here. You know, it's kind of interesting about music. Sometimes you hear a song and it makes you just want to overjoy with emotion, clap your hands, or get happy, as we say sometimes. And sometimes you hear a song like that, it just speaks to your heart. Amen. And you just get quiet. And it's a blessing. Thank you, Regina, for singing that so beautifully. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 weeks ago, when we started out, we preached what I called part one of how to handle temptation. And we looked at some things there, and we're going to go back and review those for just a minute in case you weren't here or maybe you've forgotten from 2 weeks ago. Because when you talk about preaching, preaching ought to be to proclaim the gospel. Preaching ought to be to edify the saints. Preaching ought to be to exhort the saints. It ought to be to comfort the people and to encourage them and to challenge the people. But every good preaching ought to have some good teaching in it, that you learn something about the Word of God. And I hope and pray that you are learning something from this series of messages that we've been sharing, things every Christian ought to know. We talked about the Bible as the Word of God. We talked about the assurance of salvation. We talked about this eternal security of the believer. And what happens when a Christian does sin? And here we were looking at how to handle temptation. I want to read this passage. There's two verses, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning in verse 12. If you are able, would you stand with me in honor of the reading of God's holy word? Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Father, we thank you this morning for your word and song, the sweet fellowship of your people. And Lord, I just thank you for your word. Thank you for the living word, Jesus, who died for us. Thank you for the written word, that we'd be edified, encouraged, strengthened, challenged, and come to know you even more as our Lord and Savior. We give you thanks for what you do this morning, in Christ's name, and amen. You may be seated. And by the way, by way of texting and so on back with Cody Fleener, he wanted to let me know what a great group you were and how encouraging you were to him and how you received him last week, and he just wanted me to tell you thanks for that. And I certainly am encouraged and blessed when I hear when somebody comes in to fill in for me that how you receive them and the word. He had a great message last week, and that was really great. You know, this passage of scripture has been taken out of context by a lot of people. I hear people, and I shared this with you, people say, well, God won't put more on you than you can bear, and they take this passage of scripture talking about that, but that's taking it totally out of context. This is talking about temptation. God will not put more temptation on you than you can handle it through his word and through his strength. It's not talking about suffering. It's not talking about loss and heartache. Matter of fact, if you look over to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 8, you don't need to turn there, but just let me read it to you. What Paul wrote, something that happened to them. He says, "For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we are," listen to what he says, "burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life." Paul said, we thought we were going to die. We were going through so much trouble and heartache and grief and people trying to stone us and kill us. Yet, yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. God will put more on you and me sometimes than we can bear. Why? So we will trust him as a living God. That's not what this is talking about. It's talking about temptation. We talked about, just a matter of review, three ways that people handle temptation. One is to give in to it. Just let it go. Live life. Don't worry about, if urge hits you, just do it. The other way is to fight it in your own strength. Say, I'm just going to be strong. I'm not going to do this. I know that's wrong. I'm not going to give in to it. And you try to do it in your own strength, and let me tell you, you will fail. But the third way is to overcome it through Christ. See, we don't have to be a slave to the world, flesh, and the devil. Through Jesus Christ, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And we talked about the subjects of temptation. The scripture says, such is common to man. That is, it's a common thing in your life, my life, all of our lives, that we are going to be tempted. And being saved does not make you immune from being tempted. As a matter of fact, it makes you more sensitive to it. And a temptation is not a sin, for Jesus was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. See, there's the subjects that we looked at, and then there was the source of our temptation. And we looked at three different ways that we are tempted, three different, if you want to say, enemies. One is the world, the other is the flesh, the third is the devil. The external flow we looked at was the world. In 1 John 2:15 says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And we looked at that word world, and Jesus was not talking, or John was not talking about the planet, because Jesus created it in Genesis. God created it and said it was good. He's not talking about the people in the world, for John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He's talking about the word mean in John there is cosmos, the world system, the world order of doing things, which is anti-Christ, anti-God. Paul said it this way in Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world, talking about this world system. James 4:4 says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God or an enemy of God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world, this world system, makes himself an enemy of God. See, we have an external flow of the world. And then there was an internal flow, the flesh, which is the old carnal fleshly nature. And it's a part of all of us. You know, we inherited from Adam and Eve. You know, it was passed down through the bloodline. When Adam and Eve sinned, sin came into this world, and sin came upon every man. It's in our nature. We're fallen creatures. It's our nation to want to do sin, to want to do wrong, to give in to temptation. And it's our choice, because without the strength of God, we will do it. We will do the things that are wrong. And then there's the infernal foe, the devil. Paul said in Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. See, Satan wants to destroy your and our witness as Christians. And he tries to tempt us that, to that end. See, we have an unholy trinity we face, the world, the flesh, and the devil. See, there's the subjects of the temptation, the source of our temptation. And we looked at the seed of our temptation. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus. We looked at the first seed of temptation is in our body. The flesh attacks our body. You know, God gave us certain appetites in our fleshly nature, hunger, sexual enjoyment, pleasure, sleep, those things. A lot of things. God gave those things, and God gave them, and they were good and used in the way that God gave them to us. But used outside of his will, they turn bad, and they go to destroy us when they're not fulfilled rightly. Or when we take them to extremes, you know. I love to eat. You love to eat? Hello? You love banana pudding, right, Anthony? But taking extreme is gluttony. You know, we look at the things of the world, lust, perversion, laziness, taking God's good gifts and perverting them, changing them around. That's the first seed of temptation is in our bodies, to be tempted to pleasure and overuse those things that God has given us or in a way that's wrong. The second seed of temptation was the soul. And the world attacks the soul. That's our mind, will, and emotion. And then the third seat was the spirit, where the devil attacks the spirit. See, when Satan wants us to get discouraged in our spirit, he wants us to be a disobedient people. He wants us to be a defeated people. And I shared this little comment with you. When my body is right, I'm healthy. When my soul is right with God, I'm happy. When my spirit is right, I'm holy. I'm walking with God. See, the flesh attacks the body, the world attacks the soul, the spirit attacks you, or the world, devil attacks your spirit. Now, we're caught up in a review. Now we're going to go into the last part of it, and this may be the most important things this morning from these two messages, because the fourth item where is the seasons of temptations. Do you know that there is a season in life that temptations differ? You know, depending on where you're at in your life, what kind of temptations you're going to face. See, the first season of temptation is the temptation of youth. Where does it come? It comes in the body. Young people are tempted in their sexual desires. They're tempted to get into drugs and drinking, laziness, pleasure, party, have a good time, live it up, grab all the gusto you can. The temptation of youth is just live for the old fleshly nature. And our young people are facing that tremendously. You know, sometimes I think about the temptations that I went through as a young man. And they were there, amen? But I didn't have the internet. I didn't have all this social media throwing these things at me. I didn't have a lot of the things that our young people today face to contend with. See, if you're a young person, realize that your biggest temptation is going to be for pleasure, to take those things that God has created for good and use them in an immoral, ungodly way to bring satisfaction to the old flesh. That's the big temptation of youth today. And then there's the temptation of middle age. You know, when you get into your middle age, you're kind of past the temptation of your youth. You're not all about the pleasure and things and getting into immorality and all those kind of things that you were when you were young. Now it's about the ego. It's about selfishness. It's about things. It's about prestige. It's materialism. It's wanting the new car, the new house, the new boat, the new jet skis. It's wanting stuff. You make things your goal. That's the temptation of middle age, to really live for all this stuff. It's kind of like the old expression said, that he who dies with the most toys wins. No, he dies and the toys are left behind. Amen. That's the temptation of middle age. And let me just really share from my heart for you young people, and you people are in middle age. Most of us are up in my age. These guys were up here harassing me about people being old when they hit 60. I think they know how old I was, so they was kind of gigging me a little bit. But that's okay. I love them anyway. Amen. Let me tell you, when you're in your middle age years, your income is the highest it's going to be. When you start getting older, your income starts going down. Maybe you go into retirement, maybe go into Social Security, whatever it may be. You don't have the money for all the stuff that you once had. So let me tell you, young people and middle-aged people, right now when you are making the most money you'll ever make, hear me clearly, get out of debt. Get out of debt. Don't fall into the temptation. I got to have a new house, a new car, a new boat, new this, new that, new wardrobe. Don't fall for it. It's a lie of Satan to get you to buy into materialism and putting your goal of your life into that. And then all of a sudden, when you get to those ages when you're not making as much money, you got all this debt with burdens down upon you, you don't have the joy that you once could have. Carolyn and I, she'll tell you, we made that mistake. And we're paying prices for it now because we don't have the stuff that we could have had because we paid all our money in interest for stuff that we didn't need. Hello? And can I add too, we spend a lot of money on children for stuff that they need that they didn't need it either. Amen? Because we wanted to keep up with the, can we say the Smiths rather than the Joneses? You're at your peak earning now. Get out of debt while you can. Then when you get into your latter years, you'll have plenty of money for the things and nicety of life. You don't have to worry about the debt. Please, if you hear nothing else, hear me on that. See, there's the temptation of middle age, and then there's the temptation of old age. I'm not going to ask these guys if I enter into that category. Amen. When you get older, you're not tempted with the sins of the flesh to get out and commit immorality and all those kind of things. You're not living for pleasure anymore. You get older age, you're not worried about if you got a new house, if it's a big enough house, a nice car, you don't worry about that stuff anymore. It doesn't matter to you. But here's what happens when you get to that point in your life. Here comes the devil, and he wants to cause doubt and fear in your life. Here's the questions we ask when you get older. How am I going to die? When am I going to die? Where will I die? Will I die of cancer? Will I die of a heart attack? Will I just die of old age, not be able to do anything? What's going to happen to me? That's a temptation I fight right now. Some of you are older like me. You understand that. Will there be anybody there to help me when I get till I can't take care of myself anymore? Will my retirement run out? Will I spend my last years in a nursing home just laying there in a bed and nobody able to help me? I can't watch TV because my vision's so bad I can't see it. I can't hear to see hear what they're saying on TV. Nobody comes to visit me very much. That's what the temptation of older age is. Satan loves to get in the middle of that and said, nobody cares about you. Nobody loves you. Here's what he wants to do. He wants to get you to doubt God. That's the temptation of older age. Some of you are there. Some of you haven't got there yet. You will see it. You will find it. He wants to cause doubt and fear. It's kind of like the young people say, though, sometimes. Jesus has got this. Hello? Doesn't matter what age you are. Doesn't matter what your health is right now. Jesus has got you. He's going to take care of you. Don't let the devil tell you that he's not. There's the seasons of temptation. Youth is the pleasure of the flesh, the body. Middle age is materialism, the soul, wanting stuff. The old age, the spirit, to kind of destroy your spirit. Now here's the number five, of the last of this message, and this is the key to wrap it all up, the subduing of our temptation. See, and I mentioned this earlier, the key to victory is understanding the enemy. Maybe you're like me, you're a football fan, some of you not, and watched the games yesterday. Tennessee's playing tomorrow night. And I'm sure they've had all kinds of scouting reports on Georgia Tech, their offense, their defense, their strengths, their weaknesses. So they know when they go into the game tomorrow night, they know where to go to attack Georgia Tech to score points. They know how to attack their offense to stop it. So let me give you the scouting report this morning on temptation. Three key words. If you're going to have victory over temptation, as God says, he's made a way of escape, and this is out of his word. Three key words. First one, against the world, the key word is faith. 1 John 5:4 says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. You want to overcome this world system and all it brings against you and me, have faith in God. Not some blind faith. For Jesus, or John answers that question in the very next verse, in verse 5 of chapter 5, 1 John. Who is he who overcomes the world, but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God? See, faith in Jesus Christ alone. And remember, 1 John 2:15, do not love the things of the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Jesus said in Luke 16:13, no servant can serve two masters, for neither will he hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, money. So who are you going to serve? The world? Stuff you can hold in your hand? Or Jesus? It comes down to who you love. You overcome the world with faith. You know, I'm not interested in another woman in this life. You want me to tell you why? Because I love this lady right here. She means everything to me. And I'm not worried about some other woman because I love her. Let me tell you something. When you love God, you're not worried about the things of the world. Hello? And see, if you really love God, you want to go and want to serve him and love him and not yourself. Against the world, the word is faith. It's like the song we sing sometimes. Have faith in God. He is on his throne. Have faith in God. He watches o'er his own. He will not fail. He cannot fail. He will prevail. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Against the world system, have faith in God. Doesn't matter if you have a lot of stuff or no stuff. Have faith in God. He's going to take care of his own. Hello. See, the first key is have faith to overcoming temptation. When those temptations come against you from the world, have faith in God. The second key, against the flesh, the key word is flee. Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:22, now remember, Timothy was a young man, so Paul is speaking to him as the temptations of youth that Timothy is facing. He said, flee also youthful lusts. You remember the temptations of youth? See, we're not told to fight against sexual temptation. We're not told to have faith in that. We're told to run like crazy. You remember Joseph, young man, goodly look at, strong, healthy, virile young man working in Potiphar's house, and Potiphar's wife keeps coming and tempting him with the temptations of youth to have an immoral relationship with her. You remember what Joseph done? I love the King James way it says, he said he got him out of there. He got out of there. Left his coat in her hand, ended up in prison because of that, but he got out of there because he said, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God and against Potiphar? You're his wife. I'm not going to do that. He ran. Joseph knew he couldn't just stand and just be strong in the power of his might and do it because he may take heed lest he stands, take heed lest he fall. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee sexual immorality. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, no temptation is, this is the very verse, taking you except as common demand. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above what you're able, but with temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Young people, you're being tempted sexually and the temptations of youth for pleasure, run. Get out of there. Get away from it. Don't go that places that have pornography exhibited. Don't watch the movies that are going to stir up sensual desires. Don't do the things that's going to cause you a problem and tempt you. Run from it. Stay away from it. Flee it. Proverbs 6:27-28 says, can a man take fire in his own bosom and his clothes not burned? Can one walk on hot coals and his feet be not seared? If you go back to the context of that in Proverbs there, it's talking about an immoral woman is going to come in the relationship and try to cause you to fall. And the same could be said of an immoral man. It caused a young lady to fall into a bad relationship. He says, can you take fire into your bosom and not get burned? Can you walk on hot coals? I don't know about you. That sounds painful to even read about. Amen. And your feet not be seared? Run. So you're not strong enough in your own strength to win the battle against temptation. So against the world, what's the key word? Faith. All right, I want you to make sure you're getting this down, okay? Against the flesh, what's the key word? Flee. Run from it. And against the devil, the key word is fight. Ephesians 6:12, talking about putting on the whole armor of God, talks about the battle we face. For we do not wrestle or fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Paul said that's the devil we have to fight against. James 4:7 says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You know, if you're facing that temptation, make sure that there's no sin in your life, that you haven't given Satan a place in your life, a foothold, a stronghold in your life to tear your Christian testimony down. If it is, repent of that, ask God to cleanse you of it. But the word resist here means to stand against. Standing against the temptation. Remember, you're not standing alone. Hello? If you're a child of God, you've got Jesus standing with you. He is going to stand there for you and with you. And he will make you a way and a mistake of escape, and you are to resist, to fight against the devil. And just tell him you resist him in the name of Jesus. Command him to leave. use scripture against him like Jesus did in Matthew chapter 4. Remember, Jesus went in the wilderness, was tempted the devil for 40 days. He used scripture all three times to stand against the devil. He quoted scripture back at him. Can I challenge you too? Some of you have taken up the challenge I gave you the first year to read through your Bible in the whole year. Praise the Lord for that. If you're not reading your Bible every day, read it every day, because when you read it every day, he will call all things to your remembrance whatsoever he has said to you. He will bring that scripture to your mind when you need it to fight against Satan. But if you haven't read it, it's a blank page. You don't have any sword to go against. This Bible is a sword of the Lord, amen? And you got a sword to fight with. Use it, learn it, hide it, memorize it, meditate on it. Remember, against the world, the key word is faith. Against the flesh, the key word is flee. Against the devil, the key word is fight. See, you resist him because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And we are more than conquerors through him who loved us and gave his life for us. Can I get an amen right there? See, and it all starts with taking Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Everyone here, do you know Christ is your Lord and Savior? If you do, praise the Lord. But if you don't, you're facing a losing battle trying to do it without Christ. Let me give you this. And I shared this with you at the end of the message the last 2 weeks ago. Resist Satan in the name of Jesus. There is no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. All power is given in him in heaven and in earth. Resist him in the name of Jesus. And just tell him, Satan, I resist you. When he's coming against you with a temptation, Satan, I resist you in the name of Jesus. Amen. The demons tremble and flee at the name of Jesus. Proclaim your victory in Christ, because when Jesus rose from that grave, he conquered death, hell, and the grave, and all temptation for you and me if we'll trust him and be with him. Amen. Renounce his lies by the truth of God's word. I love what Tom James, my friend, said one time about the Bible. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians, taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, that this is a sword. We talk about that, amen? But here's what he said about this. It's not just a sword, it's a book full of swords. Hello? And it is. Renounce his lies but the truth of God's word. See, that's the problem with so many people in our country today. They're not renouncing the lies because they don't know the truth. They haven't read the word of God. And they get all these ideas that all this stuff the world's throwing at us, from sexual sin and homosexuality and all the other things, and abortion, those okay things are okay. Why? Because they don't know the truth of God's word. Renounce his lies with the truth of God's word. And then praise Jesus that you're a child of God. Let me share this one last little thing with you. We'll close this morning. If you look in the Old Testament over and over again, the children of Israel, when they were going to go into battle against a heathen nation, a godless nation, many times, you know who they put out front of the whole army going in? The Levites. Who were the Levites? They were the ones who led in worship. They were the ones who were the singers. Basically, they took the praise band. They took all the singers. They took the choir. They took all the musicians and put them out front. And they went into the battle praising God. And guess what? Most time when they got there, God had already taken care of the enemy. Amen? Praise him, you're a child of God. If you know Jesus, your Savior, just thank you. Jesus, you should have saved me. There's no temptation which is common to man, and you've made no way for your escape. Now I'm just going to trust you. Amen? Guess what? He'll make a way of escape. And you know what he'll give you after that? A testimony. God took care of me. God delivered me. God hadn't failed me. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your precious holy word and Jesus, who brought it all to life and made it all possible for us to have faith in you. for us to flee, that you give us the strength and the spirit to turn and flee temptation. That you've given us the strength not to stand in our own power, but the power of your might. God, I pray you'd help your people this morning. Help us all, Lord, and as temptations come in the different seasons of life and from different ways and manners, Lord, you'd help us to look to you and your strength. And Lord, we'd give you the praise, for you're the only one who's worthy. Do in our hearts now as you desire. And with every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, just for a moment as they come to begin to play softly. I don't know what you're going through. God knows. He knows what you're facing. He knows the temptation you're going through. But let me tell you something. He's already made a way of escape. You just look to him. So whatever you're going through this morning, just look to Jesus. Look to his word. He'll deliver you. He'll give you the strength. He'll give you the victory. Trust him. Have faith in God. He's on his throne. Maybe you're here this morning, but you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've never surrendered your life to him. Maybe you made a profession that you believe Jesus is the Son of God, but you've never given him your life, surrendered your life to him, and been born again. If you haven't been this morning, greater time this morning, just come say, I need Jesus, Pastor. I need to be saved. I want to be saved. I want to live my life for Jesus. Maybe some of you folks here this morning, you're facing a lot of doubt and fear. Satan is just trying to wear you out. God's got you. He loves you. He's going to take care of you. Don't let Satan cause you to fear. Not trust God. You trust him. He will always take care of you. This morning we have this invitation. You need to come make a decision. You need to come and pray. Whatever you feel like God wants you to do, as we have this time of invitation, you just follow the Lord this morning. Father, we give you thanksgiving and praise for all you do in our lives. Lord, thank you for your gracious mercy and love. Lord, just speak to our hearts now in the way that you desire in this invitation. In Christ's name we pray. And amen. Would you stand with me? As In Faith leads us in song this morning, you need to come. You need to pray. You need to come pray for someone.